surfing can teach us a lot about life, to be patient, to be bold, to trust yourself, and most importantly, to ride the waves. And no one knows those lessons better than my next guest. Carissa Moore is a world champion surfer and Olympic gold medalist, widely considered to be one of the greatest female surfers of all time. Born in Hawaii, Carissa began surfing when she was just 5 years old. She was riding the waves of Waikiki with her dad. She burst into the world of professional surfing when she was just a teenager and has been dominant ever since her rookie year in 2010. By age 18, she became the youngest surfer to win a world title and went on to reach legendary status. Carissa made history winning the first ever Olympic gold medal in surfing when the sport made its Olympic debut in Tokyo. And now she is looking ahead to the 2024 Paris Olympics this summer, making her return as the reigning champ. Carissa has established herself as a powerhouse in the world of surfing and is an inspiration both on and off the board. She works to empower young women through her nonprofit, More Aloha, and has spoken out about the importance of mental health and self-care. She believes in following the joy and trusting what follows. Earlier this year, Carissa shared a life-changing decision, announcing that she will step away from competitive surfing after she defends her Olympic title. Well, now she's looking forward to what lies ahead, ready to see where the next wave will take her. I'm Hoda Kotb. Welcome to my podcast, Making Space. All right. First of all, I'm meeting you where you are, Carissa. I'm so happy to see you. We've got the Olympics about 100 days away from this moment that we're speaking. How are you feeling just in this moment as these Olympic Games approach?
In the moment, I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited. I can't believe how fast time has gone. And it's only 100 days out now from the Games.
Now, you said you're a little tired. I feel you. I'm actually feeling that too. I'm not sure if it's spread too thin, over just stretching, seeing how far we can stretch. What is it for you?
I think, earlier on this year, I announced that I was stepping away from competing full-time on the championship tour of surfing. And, you know, there's definitely a few things that have gone into the decision, but one of those is to been able to give myself more time to train at the Games venue in Tahiti. So I've been trying to stuff in all of my sponsor obligations and media obligations and all the other stuff into, like, 2 months so that I could just like have more free time.
Have more free time. I want to talk about your incredible career, how it began. I want to know all of these things because I find you so incredibly fascinating. I mean, from a little girl, 5 years old, saying, I want to dream of doing this. And here you are at the top of your game. But I do want to talk before we go there about repotting, because what you're doing is something that people all over the country are doing. They are going from something that they've lived, that they know, that's familiar, that's their identity, and saying, okay, now I'm going to try something new. And that's like standing on the edge of a cliff and going, I know what's up here, but I don't know what's down there. So tell me about repotting in your life.
I love that term,
yeah.
Repotting. I've never thought of it that way,
yeah.
But it's a very exciting time. It's a little nerve-wracking. I mean, you said it perfectly, that it is like standing on the side of a cliff and you're taking a leap into the unknown. And I don't have a plan. A lot of people have been like, okay, well, now what? And I'm like, I don't have a plan. And I've been quick to like want to find an answer, but I'm also learning that it's okay to not have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the most beautiful things come when you're a little lost. I mean, even just walking around a city and not having a map and getting lost, that's when you wander into the most beautiful shop or the best restaurant. So I'm trying to just like trust where I'm at. I'm definitely made this decision because it's been tugging at my heartstrings for a while now. And I know, I mean, at least when I've always made a decision that's been a hard decision in the past, it's been the right one.
Mm, I love this. And you did put a lot of time and effort into this. I'm sure you had a ton of people saying, look, you're a gold medalist, you're an Olympian, you're top of your game. You're like all the young surfers want to be you. But yet here you sit on top of the mountain wanting something different.
Something different. Yeah, I definitely have had some people come up to me and be like, hey, like you have so much more left in the tank.
Right.
But I also have to listen to myself. And I think I'm not burnt out, but it's exhausting. I think competing at the top level at such an intense level for a really long time, I don't know how to do it any other way. Like, I don't know how to do it any other than 110%.
That's you.
So I'm going to commit 110% to this next path.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
You know what's cool about you? You have an intensity, obviously, because to train at your level, you have to be there. But you also have this kind of gentle vibe that I'm feeling in here. Like, you have a very easy, breezy way about you. And those two things, sometimes you wonder, how can you hold both of those? How can you be hard driving, but yet, hey, cool. Like, this feels good.
It's challenging at times. I'm not naturally competitive. Like, I hate confrontation, but you definitely have to have an element of that when competing. I like people. I like hanging out.
Yeah.
I love love. I love being kind to people. But I think what's cool is just, I think over time I've learned, like, when the horn blows, how to turn that switch and find that fire and that tiger in me. And it's really empowering to know that I do have that part in me that I can bring out when it's time.
So let's talk about this fire, this passion, this thing that you had since you were a little girl. So you are 5 years old, I guess, was that when you first fell in love?
I would say that was kind of when I started surfing. 5 years old, dad took me to Waikiki Beach, pushed me into my first wave. And I don't remember that first wave, but I just remember the joy of going surfing with my dad.
So let's talk. So you're five. You grew up in Hawaii.
Yes.
So how awesome must that have been?
Oh, there's no better place than growing up in the islands, barefoot, running wild and free. Like, I just smile thinking about my childhood and growing up there.
So your dad was a surfer? Is that why he put you on the board?
He enjoyed surfing, but he did not have a professional surfing background or anything.
Right. He just liked it.
He liked it. He was an all-around waterman. He loved swimming. He actually was an accomplished, like, rough water swimmer, ocean water swimmer. So
wow. Yeah. So did he teach you to swim early when you were just a little thing?
Of course.
Okay, so you ride the wave. You don't remember. You're only 5 years old. But something must have clicked when you were a little kid. Like, there's something here.
There was something there. It's funny because I always ask my dad, and he's like, you naturally had a talent for just, like, reading the waves. And there was, like, a certain, like, a grace that you had. And I don't really remember it that much, but it always makes me really happy to hear dad talk of those early days.
You love him, huh?
I do. We still have a really great relationship. He lives, like, right next door to us.
Oh, he does?
Yes. Sometimes too close. No, I'm just joking.
What was it like having somebody who believed in you? Because that's what makes greatness. It's having, you need one.
I feel so fortunate that my dad from the very beginning was someone who believed in me more than I believed in myself. Mm. And I think it's so important, like you said, to have that person that you can lean on, because when times are going to get tough and you're going to doubt yourself, but if you have that outside, like, voice and validation of strength, it really helps you to keep going.
So sometimes when your parent tells you you're great, you're like, am I great, great? Or am I, like, mom and dad great?
Yeah.
So was there somebody on the outside, somebody else who was not part of your family, who looked at you and said, yeah, I actually think that you might have something beyond, isn't this a fun way to spend a weekend?
To be completely honest, I was in a little bit of a bubble. It was just me and dad kind of conquering the world together. And I don't know, I didn't really listen or read too much stuff for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it that way because, you know, then there wasn't that much pressure. It was just about the progress and the process.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So describe what the days were like. It sounds like you guys were two peas in a pod.
Oh, the days, I think when I was really young, it was, you know, I went to school. I graduated actually from the same school as Barack Obama.
Oh my gosh.
We would surf before school and he'd take me to school, wet hair and everything. I would use my study halls to finish all my homework so I could go back to the beach after school.
Wow.
And yeah.
So that was how school was for you.
Yeah.
Surfing before, going to school and surfing after.
I didn't have much of a social life. I actually was just reminiscing on this with my husband because we were high school sweethearts. We met our senior year.
Oh.
But he was like, I barely saw you. You had a oversized sweatshirt with your earphones on and we're always in the silent zone of the library. I was like, yep.
That's where you hung?
That's me.
So you meet your boyfriend mm-hmm. in high school. How did he ask you out?
Well, I kind of asked him out.
Oh, good. See? Yes, I like this.
No, it was actually really sweet because there was this one weekend where my girlfriends and I were all getting together and his best friend was dating my best friend at the time. And I was like, hey, can you invite Luke to this little gathering yeah. that we're having? And then that same weekend, he was actually, his parents were away and he was going to have a big party at his house and they were all going to invite like this one girl that they wanted to get to know and he was going to invite me. But he ended up canceling the whole party yeah. to come and hang out. At my little get together.
Did you know? I mean, you were just kids, but was there something about him that you knew that maybe this guy might be the one for me?
I don't know if it was love at first sight, but it was definitely like talking to him. He was just genuine and he Real. Was kind yeah. and it was easy to talk to him.
Yeah.
And I just, even till this day, he's little kid Luke. So he has this like free spirit and he's always looking to find a way to have the most fun every
oh,
single
I love
day.
It. So you go from being a person who likes to, you know, surf, you know, as a teenager and stuff, to at 18 becoming one of the youngest champions. So what happened? Like, how did you get from there to that point? And also, competition's different than just having fun. You know, competition is like ready, set, go, and you know it's a different kind of pressure. So how did you handle that?
Well, surfing for me got pretty serious pretty quick. I think it was like around 10 years old where I remember having a serious conversation with my dad and I was like, I really want to do this. And he's like, I don't really think you actually understand what that entails, but it's going to be some sacrifice. There's probably going to be some tears, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I believe that I can help you achieve your dreams. So that was kind of like, okay, things, you know, I was starting
Possible.
To like go with a agenda at the beach and a certain like goals to hit mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it definitely didn't happen overnight qualifying for the championship tour. It was something that was like, in progress mm-hmm. for a while. It was my junior year that I qualified and my rookie season was my senior year. So I actually wow. ended up missing like prom and stuff like that. But
what was Luke saying? He's like, what are you doing?
He's
Where
like,
are
fine,
you?
Go. I get to hang out with my buddies still.
So when you got into the competitive zone, which is obviously for you to have already achieved at 18, what, you know, people only dream about, how did you keep your wits about you during competition as opposed to, or do you not, does it not feel like competition? Do you just say, here's another wave?
I think in my rookie season, I was able to just like keep my head because I still like wasn't reading much. I was super focused. I loved the challenge. You know, it wasn't all about winning. It was about just performing my yeah. best. So, yeah. yeah.
Well, that's really cool. So were you one of those kids who said, one day I want to go to the Olympics? Like, was that in your head?
No, because surfing wasn't even a possibility.
Right.
Surfing in the Olympics wasn't realistic because it sure. wasn't a thing.
Was there a person, a woman, a man who you looked to in the surfing world and said, I want to be like that?
I've had a lot of really great role models in the sport of surfing, people that I've looked up to. On the male side, mm-hmm. I mean, I've looked up to Kelly Slater, Andy Irons, Meg Fanning. And on the women's side, my Hawaiian heroes like Megan Abubo, mm-hmm. Melanie Bartels, Rochelle mm-hmm. Ballard, Kella Kennelly. Like those were the women that were really tangible mm-hmm. because they were right there. I got to see them surfing my breaks mm-hmm. and they would do surf camps and I got to attend them. So the mentorship and like the being able to relate to them was really cool.
What does it feel like when you really hit the wave just right? Like what happens to space and time and you and what's going on in there?
It's the best feeling in the world. Like, I don't know, it's very hard to put into words, but the rest of the world kind of disappears when you like are able to engage the rail of the mm-hmm. surfboard with so much power and speed and you're just in unison with the elements, with nature, with the environment. It's beautiful. It's like a dance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Coming up, Carissa looks ahead to the Paris Olympics and shares how she's preparing mentally and physically and how she hopes to inspire young girls on and off the board. That's after the break. Now, when surfing became an Olympic sport, which was, first of all, were you waiting for that? Was that a surprise to you? when you heard that?
It was a bit of a surprise. Yeah. I was like, wait, is this really happening? Wow. I was a little skeptical, apprehensive at first. I was like, I'm not sure how this is going to work. How is this going to change our sport? Yeah. I don't know. Then obviously I was like, okay, well, I want to be a part of it. Yeah. I want to try and qualify. So.
Wow, this is going to be, and this will be your second Olympics.
Second Olympics.
And how are you feeling as we're talking about Paris and you're feeling good? What do you think of your chances in Paris?
So the surfing venue is in Tahiti at a wave called Tiahupo'o. And it's one of the most like challenging, intense, intimidating waves in the world, just because of the way that it goes from super deep water to shallow reef. Mm-hmm. And the water just like builds and bends over itself. Mm-hmm. And the risk, you know, is big. People have taken really big falls and have gotten really injured there. But there's also the other side of it where there's been, you could get the ride of your life, the thrill of your life. So yeah, I don't know about, I haven't really thought about my chances. I'm going to try to give myself the best chance possible and train as much as I can and put myself in a good headspace so it can be a great experience.
Sounds like it's going to be amazing. So when the 2024 Olympics wrap up, you will say your goodbyes, at least competitively, to a sport you love. That must be like breaking up with a lover. I mean, it is like, it's because your sport's different. A lot of sports, you know, you play them and then you have another season. Like what you do is kind of beautifully all consuming. It really is a way of life.
It really is. And I hope to be surfing till I'm old and gray. Mm-hmm. It's strange. It's strange to think that I'll kind of be like wrapping up the competitive chapter in a sense. But I'm not closing the door. Like, who knows? Maybe in a few years, I have an itch that I want to scratch and I'll come back. Or maybe I'll put the jersey on in some fun events. But for now, there's just some other things that are, exciting me.
Are you and Luke thinking about a family and all the rest? Because life's got so many different lanes to head down.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm a multidimensional human being like we all are. And I would love to be a mom and start a family. My husband would have loved to have had kids like years ago. So yeah, that's definitely something on the horizon.
Again, I was saying how you have both a competitive spirit and a very cool kind of laid back spirit. But when you seek out calm, when you look for a time where your heart can rest, where you don't want anyone pulling on you, nobody. Mm. Like, how does that look to you if you were going to describe what you would be doing that would give you that?
When I think of my safe haven, it's either at the back of the valley in our home in town in Hawaii, or it's in the ocean at an uncrowded spot just with the people that I love catching wind trading waves. Those are like two of my favorite ways to reconnect with myself, with nature, ground myself so I can move forward in strength.
How did you not get whipped up in all of the, you know, sometimes when you win a gold or you get, like something happens, you lose a little bit of who you were because now you're this. Everyone's like, oh my God, you're this. Here she is. You know, you seem to have stayed completely and totally grounded. Is that a tribute to who or what?
Well, thank you. Yes. I will take that as a compliment.
Yes,
thank you
are.
So yes. much. I feel so grateful for the Tokyo Olympics and just that whole journey, because I think it actually brought me closer to my home and my community.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Brought me a lot of pride. I think it was really cool because surfing, being in the Olympics for the first time, really got to shine light on Duke Kahanamoku and his legacy and him being a Hawaiian icon and all that he did with his life and the mark that he left on this world. And it wasn't just that he was an incredible athlete, but the incredible human that he was and how he represented our people. And so I think learning about him, and it really inspired me on how I would like to live my life.
I'm sure young girls have come up to you and I've said to you, wow, you know, thank you. But what does it mean when someone says, because you didn't really have the person, you might have had, you did have some people to look up to and say, but I think that you've become that person for so many. Kind of a neat way to give back, I think.
No, thank you so much. I think you know, whenever I meet a young girl or just anyone who maybe I might have inspired in some way, I'm like, well, that's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
Really. Like, I love surfing, but if I can share a little bit more love with people and inspire people to be a little bit more kind, that really is the real dream.
Still ahead, Carissa shares the practices she leans on to help her get through difficult times and the valuable lesson her dad taught her. Stay with us.
There are so many seasons in life. There are seasons where everything's going our way. And you're like, whoa, I can't get better than this. And then there are seasons, and sometimes it's from a Monday to a Tuesday. Everything was great, and suddenly everything comes crashing down. And you look at yourself on your knees and say, how am I going to get up from this? Every single person listening to this has had this experience at some point or another. Did you have that experience? And what did you learn from that?
More than a few times.
Mm-hmm.
There's been multiple times that I've wanted to give up. I've asked myself, why am I doing this? I've been down in the dumps, but I think grounding myself in gratitude, leaning on the people that I love has really helped me to get through those moments.
Is there something in particular that happened that you had to kind of dig yourself out of?
Yeah, I had just won my third world title and I don't know. I never went into this whole thing being like, hey, I want to win this many.
Yeah.
I won my first and I got to the top of the mountain and I was like, okay, well, how many more of these things do I need?
Right. Now
like,
what?
Now
right.
what? So I was at a point where I kind of was just going through the motions doing it because that's what everyone expected of me. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't know what else to do with myself at this
point.
Might
as well, right.
So I lost a lot of passion and purpose. And without that, I don't know, the joy went with it. And I had just gotten married, so you'd think I'd be the most joyful person ever. And it was what was happening in the water, how I was performing was leaking into my personal life. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, something's got to change. I hit kind of a rock bottom moment where I was like pretty depressed.
Yeah.
I was taking my losses really hard.
Yeah.
And that's when I went back to the drawing board and I got in touch with a psychologist who I still work with today. I started, you know, figuring out, okay, what are my tools that I can really lean on? So I journal, I meditate.
Wow.
I really like positive self-talk is constant.
Mm-hmm.
Like working on the way that I talk to myself, the conversations in my head, it doesn't ever stop. It's constant work in progress.
For journaling, that's really a thing for you, isn't it?
Yes, I have a stack like this high at home. I keep them all. It's actually pretty crazy to go back and read like where my mental state was at different points of my life.
Like, what did you learn reading that?
Oh, I had so much like a little bit of sadness, a little bit of empathy for little Riss because some of the things and how I talk to myself, I was like, I would never want anyone to talk to themselves like this. And that's how I treated myself. So I'm really, really trying to not never go back there.
Yeah. How did you stop? Because there are grown women in their 40s, 50s, 60s who are still talking to themselves that way. How did you stop doing it?
Well, like I said, to be honest, like those voices definitely come up and it's just keeping them at bay.
At bay.
Acknowledging them, knowing that that's a part of me, but knowing that it is all a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am stronger than that. It's choosing. It's making that choice. We all have the choice and we all have the power of positivity. And I really think like I am so thankful for my husband, Luke. He's really been that light and that rock for me. And I'm like, gosh, I have it all. I really do. I'm already winning. And when I'm, you know, focusing on the bad stuff, I'm like.
And your dad kind of helped, didn't he? Didn't he tell you something about like be of service or do something to help somebody else out? That usually does turn the beat around. That does for me. Sometimes when I'm in a total funk, I'm like, let's look outside. Like,
absolutely.
Let's stop what I'm doing right now.
It's one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten was, hey, when you're struggling, be of service to others, do something nice for someone else, and it'll just like change your mood almost 180 degrees right away.
What do you do right before a competition? What's your little routine?
Before I paddle out for a heat, I like to listen to some music.
Which kind?
It kind of just depends. My playlist is a bit of everything right now, but I'm in love with the artist from Australia, Keita Alexander.
Okay.
Listen to her song Queen and you'll want to get up and dance.
Okay.
But
little music.
Little bit of music. Obviously, I like sit and watch the waves with my coach, kind of figure out a game plan. Give my husband a good little kiss, wax my board, make sure the equipment's ready, body's feeling warmed up and good, but keep it simple.
And I'm so in awe of surfers because I used to play high school basketball, not to brag, but anyway, I knew where the basket was, I knew where the ball was, I knew the shape of the ball, I knew exactly what was going to happen, I knew how big the court was. Like, and you know, nothing's changing. It's not like, hey, today the basket's lower and the court's longer. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I haven't trained for that. But what you do is that. It's like today the waves aren't like the ones that you've been trained. Today it's different. And you have to adjust your sails and go, okay, I got this. That takes a lot of reposturing and positioning.
Yeah, the flexibility I think that comes with surfing. I feel like sometimes surfers are a little underappreciated for the ability to adapt. Because like you said, you can't control. There's so much out of your control, so many different variables. And you have to be like, okay, I have trained the best that I can. Mm-hmm. My body knows what to do. And you have to have a little bit of the universe on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you had a day that was just for you, nobody wanted one thing. Mm-hmm. There was nobody. You could wake up when you want. You could eat what you want. You could do what you want. You could sleep when you felt like it. How does that day look for you? You just opened your eyes.
My perfect day would be waking up at home in my bed, rolling over and giving my husband a kiss and petting the dogs. Mm-hmm. Then I would probably drive to my favorite coffee shop and get one of their muffins. Mm-hmm. They have the best muffins and an iced matcha. Then I would go to a nice yoga class, jump in the ocean. And, the sun is shining and the weather is beautiful. Mm. And then I'll eat a good meal and head home for a nap. I love naps.
You do.
I do.
How long?
An hour to a half.
Love it.
And then maybe I'll hang out with my mom or sister or visit my Nana. They all live with a tight radius of my house. So go and say hi to them, then meet up with Luke again and the dogs, take them for a walk, and end the day with a meal at home and some Netflix and chilling.
That's how you make space right there. That's it. That's the name of this podcast, and that's exactly what you do. I wish you such good luck at the Olympics, but more than that, I wish you good luck in your life. I know it's going to be great.
You too, Huda. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Making Space with Huda Kotb is produced by Allison Berger and Alexa Casavecchia, along with Kate Saunders, Katie Dissler, and Lilia Wood. Our associate audio engineer is Juliana Mostarilli. Our audio engineers are Bob Mallory and Katherine Anderson. Original music by John Estes. Bryson Barnes is our head of audio production. Missy Dunlop Parsons is our executive producer. Libby Leist is the executive vice president of Today and Lifestyle.